Blog Talk Radio.
Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the one that stirs the drink with this show, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. We are lit up tonight. If you miss it because we realize 30 minutes goes by quick, catch the archive version. Tell your friends. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Danielle, it's the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you got one hell of a topic to start this thing tonight.
Mark, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be back. Had a great time in Columbus. Thank you for everybody for coming out and see me at GalaxyCon. You can get a hold of me at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E underscore novel on Instagram, or at Danielle M. Orsino, O-R-S-I-N-O, all on Instagram. But let's jump right into it because, of all things, we got stuck with a tie week 13 with the Commanders versus the Giants. I can't believe it. I thought I was going to come in here and give you some, you know, I'll give you a little jab here and there. But it turned out that the Giants, once we got going, and I thought we got going because, you know, Daniel Jones was 25 to 31 passes. I thought maybe we had some offense. We just couldn't close out the game. So we're back to a tie. We're going to face the Eagles next week, and then we face the Commanders because they flexed our Sunday night game. And we are now the Sunday night game against the Commanders, and we're going to see what's going on in the NFC East because it's anybody's game. But as we know, the OBJ lottery is still up for grabs because he is not signed. He visited all three teams that he wanted to visit. He went to the Bills, he went to the Cowboys, and he came home to the Giants, and he left without a contract from each of them. So the rumor is that as much as the Cowboys were hot to sign him, Jerry Jones is now basically saying, I didn't get to see you run any routes. I didn't take the car out for a test drive. So guess what? No money. I'm not giving you a contract. I didn't see it. And then his medical information was leaked. As we all know, Jerry Jones does nothing if he doesn't have a plan behind it. Is this a plan to get the Giants to back off, to get the Bills to back off? You know what? I at this point, Mark, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, he knows that Jerry Jones knows he has to pay CeeDee Lamb. That's really what it is. And I think this was put out there so that if he does not sign OBJ, here are the reasons why we didn't sign him. Because if you're taking it, think of it like this. If you're going to buy a brand new vet, you might not have to test it for, you know, take it out for a test drive because it's a brand new car, you know. But if you're buying a 1969 Stingray, you want to take it out for a test drive because it's been driven. You want to make sure it's been refurbished properly. So I think that's kind of how they're looking at OBJ, like he's a 69 Stingray. He looks really good. We know that it's a good car, but I still don't know how it handles the curves. So they want to see something happen. He did not run any routes for the Bills. He did not run any routes for the Giants. The Giants are just so hard up for a wide receiver. I don't think they really care. Rumor is that his ACL rehab is going longer and it's taking longer and that he will not be playing at all this season. It brings his value down. There's other things to consider. I don't think we're going to get a signing, or we will get a signing, but I don't think we're going to see him play. And the Cowboys need somebody who will play into the playoffs. So I don't know where we're going to go with this. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it, but I'd love to hear them.
Well, first of all, congrats on the Columbus trip. I'm glad you got back safe. Prayers and thoughts on that front. As far as the Giants, I've always said this, heading into the playoffs, you're going to need a running game to succeed deep into the playoffs. The Giants got that. That's one thing in their favor. If you don't have a running game, you're not going anywhere in the playoffs to take the pressure off the quarterback. As far as the Skins go, I like their chances. I think they're coming on right now. Well, I don't want them to see them peak too fast. You want to peak right about now to carry you into the playoffs, and then you can get really hot then. but hopefully they haven't peaked too fast. This is a team that's, you know, won 6 out of 7. They got a tie in here. And you take that Minnesota game that they lost by 3 points away, they'd be really running here. They'd be 8-4-1 here, to say the least. So that's what I like about this team. It's going to be interesting. You and I had talked about in the pre-chat about, you know, the NFC is pretty much, you can figure it out. You know, nobody's coming out of the NFC South except Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay will win that. A couple weeks ago, I would have thought Atlanta would have done something, but they've fallen on their face the last 2 weeks, losing to the Skins and losing to the Steelers. But when you look at the NFC West, it's a two-team horse race there. It's Seattle and San Francisco. Does the loss with Garoppolo hurt the 49ers and the Seahawks come in there with the comeback player of the year and the coach of the year? With Geno Smith and Pete Carroll to overtake them. This could be devastating. The Niners got Tampa Bay this week. Seattle's got Carolina. You guys got the Eagles, and the Skins are off.
Yeah.
So I think the battle here is, as I give it back over to you, Danielle, is whoever finishes fourth is going to battle Detroit, and Detroit's kind of hanging around there, but it'll be between whoever finishes second and fourth in the East to battle that thing out. So it could be a Seattle-Washington, it could be a Seattle-Giant, and then the Lions would lurk. The Lions are going to need to run the schedule out. Everybody else is dead. Any thoughts?
I think what we need to see is we got to look at Purdy and figure out, can he hold out with the 49ers? I think that's going to be a big – that's the big decision, and that's the big factor right now is Purdy. Can he do it? You know, they got lucky when Garoppolo was able to back up and hold that out. They got Bosa back. They got a lot back in time and was able to hold the 49ers together. They've gotten healthy. They've gotten the run game going. They've figured things out. Now you've lost Garoppolo. The thing with Garoppolo is it wasn't his arm strength that held that team together. We all know that. But it was his poise in the pocket, and it was his leadership that held that team together. You're losing that. Now, what Purdy has said is that Garoppolo was really good about teaching. Garoppolo, probably because we all know Garoppolo was under, was backing up Brady. Brady did not share a lot. And Garoppolo has said that he wanted to do it differently. So he was very good with his backups. Did he impart more of a leadership and give that skill over? We're going to see. That's really what it's going to come down to with the 49ers is can they, you know, do they have somebody in there to lead this team forward through this? So I think that's what we have to keep an eye out with the 49ers. With the Seahawks, I'm not a Geno Smith fan. I know. I'm holding a grudge. I really am. I'm holding a grudge from when Smith kicked out Manning and stopped his Iron Man run, and I have to get over it, but I'm really not ready to do that just yet. So I'm looking for anybody to knock the Seahawks out, and I don't want Pete Carroll to get Coach of the Year. I think it should go to Brian Daboll. And once again, this is my pettiness coming through. So all the Giants fans out there understand this is pettiness coming through completely, and I'll admit it. So we'll see what happens with the Seahawks. I'm not 100% there. The Bucs and the 49ers, it's going to come down to does Brady have any chemistry left with his wide receivers because we're still getting drop balls left, right, and sideways, and I have not seen that running game come through on the Buccaneers.
Well, you bring up some great points, and I want to get to these questions. Bill coming in from Wichita, Kansas, he goes, he's a big Minnesota Viking fan, and basically the Vikings aren't getting credit. I've heard your show before. You guys talk about different things, and he said, you know, I've heard you guys talk about the strength of schedules and everything. The Vikings took the Jets out. The Jets were coming in really hot on the road. So I don't know why we can't get any credit. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. We got receivers. Watch us in the playoffs. And I like your show. Well, let me throw the comment over
to you first,
but Bill in Wichita, Kansas. I'm not sold on the Vikings, Danielle, and I'm just not. I don't think they've – I think the Eagles have been tested. I think everybody in the AFC East has been tested. I'm just not sold on teams that blow through divisions. We're starting to see that with Kansas City. Now the Raiders are starting to try to make a move on this thing. But, you know, teams that blow out divisions, you know, tend to relax somewhat, take their foot off the gas. And the Vikings really haven't been tested. Yeah, there's teams that have come in there and given – Dallas came in there and smashed them. You know, New England, you know, gave them a good game, fell short. The Jets gave them a good game and fell short. You know, you turn those games, you know, a play here, a play there, and the Patriots and Jets pick up wins in their backyard. All of a sudden, even if you secure the home field advantage, you're looking at 0-3 with those three teams that came in.
I think with the Vikings, I agree. The Vikings are not getting enough credit, but at the end of the day, they have one of the best wideouts there is in Justin Jefferson. They just do. I think they're going to be a silent killer. I think we have to keep an eye out on the Vikings because I believe that they could come in and wind up just shocking people because they've been overlooked. People are not taking them seriously, and they don't prepare enough for them. At the end of the day, they gave the Jets a game to watch and play, and Mike White still looked great. I mean, Mike White was still not somebody to sneeze at. So I think that we have to look at the Vikings and take them a little more seriously. The problem I see with the Vikings is that the Vikings tend to play just above and get hot just enough. They don't blow anybody out. And I feel like, in a way, Kirk Cousins is kind of saving some in the tank a little bit because he's been down this road before where he knows what it's like to blow it all out and kind of blow the wad early. So I'm feeling from Kirk Cousins that he's kind of saving something in his back pocket. And I think when we go down the stretch, keep an eye on the Vikings. Something's gonna shock us. And I also think he's trying to stay healthy. Because once again, he's been down this road. He knows what this is about. This is not his first time in this rodeo. So I would keep an eye on the Vikings, and they got one of the best wideouts there is. And he's got chemistry with Jefferson. So I think you have to take a look at him and be real. You got to keep an eye on him right now. Dalvin Cook, with everybody, you're looking at them going, okay. You know, Sauce Gardner could not shut them down. And he's one of the best. So I would look at them and just keep an eye out that they could be somebody to go deep into the playoff run this year. And I don't think they're getting enough. But I think it's just one of those things where you just expect them to go, and everybody's expecting them to take the foot off off the gas, which is why I think they're kind of being a sneaky assassin right now.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on them. I just see their games.
Okay.
If you're not going to get tested, you're going to get tested when the playoffs come. I think somebody out of the NFC East, and I'm not a big Dallas guy, you know, but I would say that Dallas being tested by the Giants, the Skins, and the Eagles would prepare them much more than the Vikings, even though the Vikings got a better record. I think people look at records, and no disrespect to you, Bill, but looking at records and thinking that, well, this team's better. I even think the last place team in the East can come in there and give you a run for your money. The Skins had that game. They blew it against the Vikes. It was in Washington, granted, but you put that game in Minnesota, it doesn't matter to me. Let me get Dale coming out of Modesto, California. He says, guys, I'm hearing the 49er talk. The 49ers aren't dead. They can get Garoppolo back in 6-7 weeks. I know it's the NFC Championship, but don't count the Niners out. Dale, I don't know about that. What's your take on that, Danielle?
I'm not counting the Niners out. I'm not counting on Garoppolo coming back, though. Based on the injury, Shanahan's not even comfortable with him coming back. I'm not counting the Niners out. I just think we have to see how Purdy stands up, and does he meet the challenge. I am not counting the Niners out at all. If one thing we've learned from this season is not to count the Niners out, because every time we thought something was going down with them, they have bounced back. So I am not counting the Niners out at all. But I want to see if he steps up and if this last game wasn't just a fluke, because we only saw him for part of the game. How does he prepare? Where are we going with this? But I'm not counting the Niners out just yet. The thing I've learned is never count the Niners out at this point. They always seem to have something up their sleeve. I'm not counting them out yet. I just want to see where it goes.
Right. Okay, the next topic, let's get into the Steelers and the Ravens. This has been an intense rivalry from the start. You can cut it with a knife. They meet in Pittsburgh Sunday. I know the Ravens are sitting on top of this division. They're getting hard-pressed by the Bengals now. And Lamar Jackson is out for this game, it looks like. I think the Steelers are going to pull one. They're starting to click now, and I'm talking about teams that are starting to click right about now when people are counting them out. Granted, I had the Raiders to win the AFC West, but the Raiders are coming in hot too. Both these teams might have to roll out all their wins heading into the playoffs, but I like the Steelers in this one. It's going to be a real nail-biter in Pittsburgh and the first of two. So what's your take on that, and I'll give you my take.
Tyler Huntley, I think, is actually gives them a chance. I like Tyler Huntley. I think he's – now, he's no Lamar with his legs, but he still scrambles pretty good. So I'm excited to see Tyler Huntley get out there and see what he can do. The other thing is there's not a tremendous amount of tape on Tyler. So I think from a prep standpoint, the Steelers aren't going to be able to prep for him the way they were prepping for Lamar. So I think that will give for the first game. I think the first game advantage is going to go to the Steelers. The second game, I think the advantage goes to the Ravens, because I think by then the Ravens will have been able to prep differently, and the Steelers won't have that surprise advantage. So I think the first game is going to go to the Steelers. The second one's going to go to the Ravens.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to say that. You know, I admire the way you break that down. I think this injury is going to be a little bit more than they're laying out. I'm not saying it's a Garoppolo injury, but this kind of injury can keep you out 1 to 3 weeks. By that time, the Bengals are starting to really get hot here. And I don't know, the Ravens have kind of shot themselves in the foot. Even having Lamar Jackson healthy, they lost four games. They almost lost this game against Denver. But they've all lost these games in the last 30 to 45 seconds. So, granted, I don't know how they pulled it out against the Denver game. They were trailing most of that game, but I don't know. These are the kind of games where, you know, now you're putting a second stringer in there to try to, you know, capitalize for a first stringer. Good luck with that, and we're seeing it in two cities. You broke down Tampa Bay, but I think Tampa Bay has the experience to go into San Francisco and beat them, just like I think Pittsburgh will take out Baltimore. It's a home game, and the Steelers know what's at stake. They pretty much got to run the table, like I said earlier. So I like Pittsburgh's chances. I'm sticking with the rookie to outclass the second-string quarterback in Baltimore.
I think Tyler Huntley can actually get it done, because he's been in this position before. So he's got the poise in the pocket. But the problem that has plagued the Ravens has actually been Lamar trying to get too much done. He's still got this hanging over his head with the damn contract, and that's been the problem. He's trying to be Superman. He wants to prove that he's worth the money, he's worth the money, he's worth the money. And that's what's been his problem this entire season. He's been forcing things to happen. Instead of relying on the team and the people around him, he's trying to show that he's worth it. And if he would just relax a little bit and stop worrying about, which is hard to say, stop worrying about the money, but that's been his problem. We saw it in the Giants game as well. With the rush mistakes, the fumbles, the interceptions, which is uncharacteristic for him to have those kind of rookie mistakes, but it's because he's been forcing. And we've seen it plague him for most of the season, where he's acting like he's the only one on the offense. That's been a big part of his problem. And I think we're going to see a different look to the Ravens with Huntley in. And I'm kind of excited to see what happens and how they play this.
Okay, what's the other game that sticks out that's really interesting to you this week as you look at some of these games? We've got a load of listeners.
I'm really interested in seeing what's going to happen, to be honest with you, with the 49ers. That's probably what's, you know, the game that I'm looking at the most to say, where are we going with that? That I'm looking at, I'm definitely looking at the Jets and Buffalo. That game I'm glued in on, because I want to see if the Jets can pull this off. So I want to see, can we do it again? So I'm looking at the Jets. Obviously, I'm watching the Eagles and the Giants. That's a given. So I'm definitely watching that, because I think I'm actually going to get it down here in Charlotte. So I'm really excited about that. But I'm interested in the Jets and Buffalo. Giants I'm looking at definitely pretty hard. And then I've got my eye on Miami and the Chargers, because I want to see if Miami is going to just trounce the Chargers, or are the Chargers bouncing back and showing me that they got a little something in the tank to actually you know, give them a bounce, push it a little bit more? Or what are we doing there? So I'm interested on that game. What about you, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you, the one that sticks out to me is the hot Raiders coming into SoFi tomorrow. They're going to beat the hell out of the Rams. I love Baker Mayfield. He was cut in your city. I was surprised. I like this guy's swag. It's just not going to help the Rams. I think this is a stopgap. It might be, we'll see if he's brought back in there next year with a contract. But I kind of like, you know, his style of play. You know, unfortunately, you know, it didn't work, like I said, in Carolina. We'll find out here. He's going to have to learn the playbook real fast. I'm looking at the Raiders just to run the ball down the Rams' throat. The Rams can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. They're the only team in the league that hasn't had a 100-yard rusher. And their longest scamper from scrimmage has been about 26 yards, so good luck with that. They have definitely got the Super Bowl hangover, and they're not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah.
Not when you get rid of all your draft picks for guys to come in and spell L.A. for a season or not. Case in point, the Jalen Ramseys, the Von Millers, and the list can go on. But I think Stafford's done. I really do. I don't think he's going to come back. I'm not saying he's going to pull an Andrew Luck. But this guy's got concussion problems, injury problems. We saw it in Detroit. I just think, you know, they're going to need a quarterback.
I think he's done.
In L.A. Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
Done.
But the Raider game sticks out on me. The other game is, and you alluded to, was the Miami Charger. I think the Chargers are going to realize what's at stake here. This is the time of the year when Miami starts to go a little south, and I don't mean South Florida. They stand here, and we've seen this over the years with Miami. One or two wins they need to control their own destiny. They end up blowing it. They can't play in cold-weather cities. You know, L.A.'s not a cold-weather city. But, you know, when you look at the Dolphins, if they get into that 30-degree and below, and they're going to be going into New England here later on in the season, good luck with that. I think they're 1-20 or 1-25. So this is not a team that's used to doing it. If anybody's going to fall out of the AFC East, I will put New England ahead of Miami in this because I think there's more upside in New England than there is in Miami.
I'm interested to see the Cleveland-Cincinnati game. I want to see if Deshaun Watson has anything left in the tank at all. I think Cincinnati is just going to run all over Cleveland. It's just going to be – I think Cleveland's going to be sitting there kicking themselves for what they put into Deshaun Watson. I think it's just – I think they're going to be looking at themselves saying, why did we do this deal again?
Right.
I think Cincinnati's is going to be just – it's going to be almost like a game of flag football for them. They're
well, Barry coming in, and he's coming in from Las Cruces, New Mexico, and says, guys, any thought on the Jerry Jones thing when he was 14 years old? That was brought up by LeBron James, and I think it's a joke. I think to sit here and talk about a kid at 14 years old compared to a guy at 32 like Kyrie Irving, you know, it's apples and oranges here. You know, I think what LeBron should have done, and I like LeBron James as a player, I just don't like the whole political movement here as far as what's going on. When accountability is lost in today's society, that's where I draw the line, and that's the problem with it. So I'm not going to sit here and judge a guy like Jerry Jones who at 14 years old, we've all done stuff at 14 years old. We've done stuff, growing up. But we don't. If we're going to fast forward something 40 years later or something when a guy's a grown man and pretty much a grandfather, that's uncharacteristic to bring that to the table. But that's just my opinion, and, you know, I don't know what your opinion is on that, Danielle, but I'm not even going to lay credence to that.
All I will say regarding that is I don't have all the facts about it, so I've looked into it. I think Jones should at least speak, you know, out and, like, make a comment about it, and let's see his record and go from there. I will say there is some it's not – always weighed fairly, so I understood what LeBron was kind of trying to say is, you know, are we comparing it fairly? Like, if one player does something, do we bring it out? You know, I get what he was trying to go with it, but I know I've done dumb stuff. But dumb stuff and being racist are two different things. And so I think, you know, it should be – the NFL does have some issues that they need to make up for, and in the sense of you can't fine a player when their socks don't touch the bottom of their pants $5,000 and claim safety issues. So I think that the NFL does have some antiquated protocols that they need to, you know, deal with better and go from there, and that, you know, we know that owners need to be held accountable as well as players, and, you know, that's for the NFL to kind of get with the times. And you and I have discussed this off air.
Exactly.
And go from there.
We're down to less than 4 minutes in this great show, and we'll take one more. Albert coming in here from Poway basically says, yeah, we got a lot of role models. Just look at what Danielle was just talking about in Deshaun Watson. Here's a guy that gets a boatload of money. The Cleveland Browns look the other way. And unfortunately, I guess he didn't, assault anybody in Cleveland. Otherwise, the Cleveland Browns would have a different view on this. Well,
yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you one thing, Danielle, and I'll give it to them like this. I think the Browns ownership, in my mind, is very stupid, and I'm just going to throw it out there, because to sit here and not get all the facts, and you got the facts all lined up, and to sit here and give this guy guaranteed money, you're basically saying we don't care what this guy did. It didn't happen in our city, so we're going to look the other way on this, and we're going to look at his talent. We don't care about integrity. We don't care about credibility. We don't care about nothing. We're just looking at talent, and this didn't happen to any woman in our city. Is really, really stupid in my point. And the Cleveland Browns ownership, to me, gets the doink of the year, if you want to put one of those things on it. The dumbest organization of the year goes to the Cleveland Browns in my book.
I equate it to this. If the NFL wants more females, stop making pink jerseys. And stop doing, you know, they do a domestic violence commercial once every couple months, and they show a bunch of players crying, and we're all like, boo-hoo, that's horrible, and yet you give no money, you do nothing, and then you go and, you know, you have a player like Deshaun Watson. That doesn't say that you respect female fans. You know, you could do a lot more for us than give us pink jerseys. You know, that's what I
mean. You bring up a great point. Yep, exactly. And you know what? By not doing anything, by not throwing the guy out of the league, by not at least banning him for 5 years, you're basically saying, come on down next to Deshaun Watson, and you might assault 90 women, and we have no problem with it, as long as you don't do it in our city. You can do it in any other city.
Yeah.
Just don't do it in our city, and we're willing to give you maybe $300 million. That's bogus in my mind.
Yeah. So I joke with that. Like I said, you know, here's pay $80 and you get this pink jersey, but you know, whatever's going on here. Like it to me, it's silly at this point. So, you know, I don't know what more to say on that, except, you know, I'm a fan. I just want to enjoy my games.
Somebody's bringing up the Good Morning America couple. The guy that's had three affairs.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's for a different show, sir. We
we'll
appreciate your comment out of New Rochelle, New York. But as we wrap this thing up, Danielle, I am so blessed to do this show with you each and every week. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And I can't wait for next week when another topic comes to the forefront as far as a rivalry week.
Oh, next week we'll get into the whole Giants-Philly thing. I would love to talk about that, because we all know the Philly fans like to put, you know, batteries and snowballs, and Eli Manning talking about 8-year-olds giving him the finger. I love that.
Yep.
You can get a hold of me on Instagram at Danielle, M as in Marie, Orsino, O-R-S-I-N-O, or still on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E underscore novel. That's where I talk about my books. But please slide into my DMs and let's talk football. I would love it.
She's Danielle Orsino. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Have a blessed one. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Tell all your friends. We'll see you next Wednesday, same time, same channel. Have a blessed one and a great week.